from the Gator Grapplers Hall of Fame in Ponchatoula, Louisiana, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, insurance magnate, a man's man who can skin an alligator while wearing a white suit and not get a drop on him, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring retired statesman, mentor to young attorneys, the legal representative to the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest and best dressed of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And last and least, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and inventor of the non-returning boomerang, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
So this is the inaugural podcast.
That is correct.
Even though we've been doing a show for, did you do any research on that?
You guys been about 35 years.
We have not been doing this. I have.
Yeah.
I've been in radio for 39 years.
Woo. I thought you were only 40.
Yeah, but nobody cares about that.
Oh, well.
That's past.
Certainly true.
I think I got about.
So did you watch Indianapolis 500?
I did.
Yes.
Watch the end of it.
The Indy 500, of course, you know, was a while back.
Was Dennis there?
No.
No. No Ringhausens were allowed.
Well, I could see that.
Dennis is one of the other brothers.
Yes.
Who's not on the radio.
Never.
He's the one that works for a living.
Yes.
Wow.
Dennis runs the orchards.
Yes, he does.
For anyone that didn't know.
Right.
Right.
So what are you talking about?
No, I did not go to the Indy 500 this year.
Okay. So
but what I was going to say is, did you see the tire come off one of these cars? And
that was amazing.
And didn't hit anybody.
It went over the rail and towards the crowds. So there's like two giant grandstands.
Right between them.
It took that wheel off and just catapulted it out. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Would have killed somebody, right?
Oh, more than one.
Would have killed you guys, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you're wrestling. You would have had to move there, right?
You would have just punched it out of the way as it came in.
And I would have dropped down to superhero pose.
Yeah, put one knee on the ground.
Stopped it.
Like smashed somebody's car, though, didn't it?
Yeah, bad.
Smashed it good.
I assume that somebody got a new car courtesy of the Penske Racing Team or some such.
Yeah. They weren't driving it home.
I was watching the senior PGA Tour, and a golfer.
The old man?
This golfer that was in second place in the tournament is, you know, getting down to like the 15th hole or whatever, and he takes his drive and he hits a guy in the head.
Whoa.
With the golf ball. I mean, you know, my God, you know, any part of your body that would hurt, but getting hit in the head would be double. But anyway, you know, they got the guy. It didn't knock him out, but they had him sitting in, like the first aid cart or whatever, and the golfer that hit him comes up to him and signs a glove, autographs a golf glove, gives him a bunch of trinkets out of his bag.
Yeah.
And then pulls out his wallet and proceeds to hand the guy cash. I mean, like, he's pulling out $50 bills and just, you know, one after another, just handing the guy, and know the guy, you're like, I'm perking up now, you know.
And then he finally wised up enough to go, oh, no.
I need.
This ain't the way this is going to play out.
No. Just, that's the down payment.
Nice try.
Yeah. He took the money.
Well, sure.
I'd never seen anything like that.
Just pull out and
see. That's cool.
Handing out the cash.
Now there's going to be guys throwing themselves in front of the ball.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Taking the hit.
Yeah.
No, it was Happy Gilmore in front of the batting cages.
Well, it's Rodney Dangerfield got hit and couldn't play anymore.
Oh, yeah. From
but that would be the one. Caddyshack. Yeah. See, I did see that game, that movie.
I was at a golf tournament.
Did you play?
Yes.
Good.
It was best ball, so they, you know, they didn't use my shot often.
Ever.
Yeah, maybe. But in any event, we were at the green, and some guy on another tee tees off and it shanks it way out of line into our green, and there's a lady standing next to us, I say old, I was going to say an old lady, but she's probably younger than I am now. But hit her square in the middle of the forehead.
Ooh.
It looked like a golf ball shot out of her head. I mean, it was like she had a hole in her head and it just shot a golf ball out of it.
Where was I at? Have you ever played golf that I wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. Okay. But it just dropped her. I mean.
Knocked her out?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was
and
impressive.
You got to see it?
Yeah.
Kill her?
No.
Well, I would think it'd be coming close to that.
She kind of was dazed for a while.
Anybody come up and hand her cash?
No. I think whoever did that.
Took off running?
Immediately took off running. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I would have.
Oh! Game's over. See ya.
The rest of the team just rifled through her purse.
Rifled through her purse and then handed her own money.
Wow.
Here you go.
Sorry. Okay, getting back to the Indy 500.
Okay.
I read that the first Indy 500 was ran in 1911.
Yeah, that's about right.
And that the winning speed was 74.5 miles per hour to win the Indy 500. I can drive down Highway 67 at greater speeds than that. It's like I'm winning the Indy 500 every day.
And they had two guys.
And what's the speed limit on 67?
I don't know.
65. 65.
I'm pretty sure it's 65 max, isn't it?
Yeah. But they had.
I'm saying I could.
Yeah. But they had two guys in the car at that time. One was the brake guy. You didn't know that?
Mm-hmm.
Just thought I'd tell you.
Well, in my vehicle, there's two people also, and Sarah's the brake guy saying, slow down!
No, mine's the same way. What's the speed limit? 65. You're doing 80. Slow down.
Leadfoot Ringhausen over here.
So
Suzanne's going, it's 65 and you're going 40.
I was looking at those fields over there.
And then, you speed up. You know you're going 80 miles an hour now.
It's just no satisfying that woman, is there?
Wow.
She's going to hear you.
Okay. I heard, and this is just probably one of the most appropriate news stories ever for this show. There was a story that in Southern Illinois, they had to call out the conservation police officers because there was an alligator, a live alligator, on the loose in Southern Illinois, and they had to call in the game warden.
Did you get a call?
Round it up.
Where'd that come from?
It was in the news a couple of weeks ago, maybe. Greg, look it up.
You know, if it's,
Southern Illinois alligator.
If it's not an indigenous.
You didn't
species.
Get called. I'm surprised they didn't call you.
I
man.
Know. Wow. Who are you going to call? The alligator wrestlers.
You got it.
You can shoot something like that, can't you?
Well, oh, no.
If it's coming after me, it's going to be shot.
Why would I shoot an alligator when I can subdue it by hand?
Well, I mean, not everyone is your level of
what
ability.
Is the name of this episode?
I don't know. I don't remember.
The beginning.
Is this the Full Nelson?
Yeah, I think so. This is Full Nelson.
Full Nelson.
Episode one, the Full Nelson. Episode one, the Full Nelson.
Take two. Did you find it, Greg? Yeah. Everything stops when somebody starts using their phone here.
I know. This was back in 21. They caught a 750-pound alligator in central Illinois.
750?
Yeah.
Where'd it come from?
It's 13 feet long. You ever face something like that, big boy?
30 feet long.
What I'm saying though is, if it's something that's not
without a saddle,
if it's something that's not natural to the state, it's not against law.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, you're not allowed to shoot a mountain lion. If there's a zebra running through downtown Jerseyville, you're not allowed to shoot the zebra.
I bet you can.
I bet you. I mean, you can, but I think you'd get arrested for it. Yeah. Greg, look that up.
I'm not looking that up.
It's like you remember that. Remember that big. That big two-legged bird that Brad was chasing around the
emu.
Woods. Yeah, an emu. You can shoot an emu.
Well, I think you probably shoot an emu. But I think they're going to draw the line somewhere.
It's a fine line.
I guess, if there was a Poland China's hog running down the middle of State Street, you could shoot it, right?
Well, I would think so.
And then butcher it right there on the spot.
You're not going to get fined, I wouldn't think. Well, it'd be like disturbing the peace if you do it inside of a city.
Oh, it'd be disturbing. I saw that ring house boy out there. He's gutting a hog on State Street.
And left it all there.
You know, I was watching the show.
Let's say, just wait a minute. Before you No. This is connected to what, let's just say.
What I was going to say was going to be connected.
Deer season, it really is. Let's say it was deer season, and I shoot a deer, and me and Brad, the other brother, load this deer up, and I drive it into town, and I pull into the Walmart parking lot and just gut it right there.
You're going to get a ticket for something.
Why would I get a ticket for that?
You're disturbing the
peace. It's legal to kill the deer. It's legal to transport the deer. It's legal to field dress a deer.
You going
to
tag it?
Well, before I transport it, absolutely.
Before you take it to Jerseyville Walmart parking lot and gut it.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, hypothetically, why couldn't I do that?
Because they throw the catch-all disturbing the peace at you.
Hey, Rick. What were you going to say to begin with?
What I was going to say is watching the show Office Space.
Yeah.
And at one point in that.
You're just rude, man. What? Wow.
You say this has nothing to do.
You're the mean one.
No, I'm not.
At one point, the guy brings in a big fish and plops it down. He really does gut that fish there. I mean, that's not a fake fish. He guts a real fish right there on camera.
Okay.
So what did that have to do with anything?
Well, he was talking about gutting a pig.
Wow.
Or deer or something.
Both, I think.
Well, I was just impressed with that actor that he did that.
Did I tell you about the time I had this guy that...
You're changing the subject then.
No, I'm not. No. This guy, he knew I was a hunter, avid hunter, and said, I love to eat deer meat. You know, if you get an extra deer, I'd take it if you... I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, I'd take a deer. I said, okay, well, when I get one, you don't get much notice. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to say, I got a deer, and it's ready to be processed. Good. He said, I used to work as a butcher. I worked in a butcher shop. I said, well, then you're in good shape. No problem. So, 2-3 weeks later, whatever, I shoot this deer. It's doe, deer.
Female deer.
And so I call the guy up, and I said, I'll just use a fictitious name, Mike.
Real name.
I call it Mike and say, hey, I got a deer for you. Oh, great. That's good. I said, but you got to come get it. It's down at such and such location. And he says, okay, I'll be there 10 minutes. Shows up. It's not field dressing. It's just the way it dropped.
Just the way nature dropped you shot it.
Yeah, the only difference was it's not alive anymore. So he's like, wow, this is great. So we're loading the deer in his truck and he's looking at, yeah, this is great. I'm going to be eating deer. And then he's kind of slowing down. That's big. And I said, yeah, you sure you know how? Yeah, I was a butcher. I said, okay, well, good. Then
see you later.
Good luck with it. So about a half hour later, I get a phone call. Now, when you're skinning this deer, he said, well, wait a minute. Do I gut it first and then skin it, or skin it and then gut it? I said, you can do it any way you want, Mike. And he says, okay, good. And hangs up. Get another phone call about 15 minutes later. Now, when I start cutting this up, I said, well, whoa, wait a minute. You're the butcher. He said, yeah, but how do I cut this up? I said, cut off all the meat except for the bones. And I said, and it's all edible, the whole thing. Okay, yep, got it. So
10 minutes later.
Just out of curiosity, I decided to drive down to the location where he has this deer at his home, which is right along a 4-lane highway. And he has it hanging from a tree in his front yard. And he must have had 20 knives laying on the tailgate of his truck. And he's wearing this apron that is soaked with blood. And I pull up and I'm like, you doing okay, Mike? Yeah, he said, I got it all figured out. No problem. And it just, he was a butcher.
It sounds like alcohol was involved here.
So,
too.
Not enough. So, anyway, I haven't given him any more.
So, did you help him?
No, I drove away. Good God, I didn't want to get involved in that.
No.
He ate it, though. I think he just ground the whole thing into burger.
Well, that's a good way to do it. whatever you want to do.
That's about all he could at that
point.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Hair, hide, everything.
Adios.
Just like Vienna sausages. Unfair? Unfair to the armor company? Okay. Wow. Sorry. I love them.
You never get the first one out.
I was raised on them.
They're not bad.
Not bad.
Once you just tip the can upside down and tap the bottom, and they all slide.
And then you do that slow shake, and they finally go. That sounds like the dog food from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh,
when he shakes that can of dog food out in that dish. Yeah,
and the dog's sitting there licking his lips and sitting on the couch. Very good.
So you've seen a movie.
I did. A couple times.
That's a pretty good movie.
I like the blowtorch.
Flamethrower.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. My favorite scene in the whole movie is when...
talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that whole movie was when Brad Pitt is fighting Bruce Lee.
Oh, that was cool. You dented my door.
That was an edit.
So-and-so's beating the stuffing out of Bruce Lee.
No one.
Beats
no
the,
one.
Bruce Lee.
Beats the stuffing out of Bruce Lee.
Oh, hey, wait. Well, we've got a new sponsor. I forgot we need to welcome him. Here, just have a seat here. Hello, my name is Doyle McIntyre, owner and operator of Amalgamated Murgatroyd, your hometown explosive supercenter. Fall is just around the corner, and you will soon be wanting to be stocking up on your tertiary explosives and blasting agents. In our newly repaired showroom, we have a full selection of initiation sequencers, tetroids, and fulminates. To celebrate our grand reopening, Amalgamated Murgatroyd will be offering our first 100 customers a 10% discount on Composition A Cybernites and any of our bonded explosives. Come on down to Amalgamated Murgatroyd, your hometown explosive supercenter. My family thanks you.
What's this got to do with Indy 500?
Well, that's
I thought we were done talking about Indy 500.
See, that's what we do, folks.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who won?
Guy from Indianapolis, wasn't it?
Yeah. Joseph. Ran up into the crowd.
Joseph. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That was pretty interesting. Well, I couldn't figure out how did he get through the gate?
There was a little opening down at the bottom.
Pushed, I didn't know that at first.
He pushed the plastic aside and went underneath the...
It was there for camera people.
Yeah.
And he knew, somehow he knew that. Because it was right on the start-finish line to have cameras there or whatever.
I think that's how you used to sneak in as a kid.
Yeah right. You got off the track and snuck in that way.
Every kid that ever lived in Indianapolis has snuck into the 500 at one point or another.
I would have.
Well, the infield's interesting. They got a concert going on over there.
You've been there?
There's more stuff
going on. You've been to the Indy 500?
More stuff going on in the infield than that.
Never been.
Oh, you're talking Snake Pit.
Yep, that's it. Snake Pit. And it is.
You can see just about anything in the Snake Pit.
I'm sure you can.
That's my understanding.
Mine too. Never been there.
Never been there.
Never been there.
You have?
You going to go? Is that on your bucket list?
Not really.
Have you ever gone?
No.
At all? To the race?
It's never been exciting.
Did you, Alan?
Indy 500? Never been there.
But Brad and Dennis have.
Yeah. I've never been to a NASCAR race that isn't.
Have you ever been to any kind of car race ever?
Alton Dragway.
Did you really?
Oh my. Little Red Wagon.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that had lead shoes on. They dragged him down
No, wait a minute. The Alton Dragway, you're talking about out by the mental hospital?
Yes.
On Fosterburg Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not talking about the Godfrey Speedway.
No. It's Alton Dragway.
Because that place was so loud, you could hear that in Jerseyville.
Yeah, pretty much.
Me and Dave Pilley racing through Jerseyville.
That doesn't count.
Oh.
It didn't sound like it.
That ended up with my car parked in someone's yard with his car smashed up against the side of it. That was a bad day.
What were you, 16 years old in one day?
Yeah.
First
like that. It was the day after I wrecked.
The other car.
The other car, yeah. It was a bad day.
Our parents were so proud of you.
So he had two wrecks in one day?
Two in 2 days.
Do you think that it's some kind of punishment that later your children had wrecks?
Well, they just inherited that from their mother.
Okay.
Ooh.
Careful.
No, I was... one of those two wrecks should have been... I shouldn't have had...
Did you get a ticket?
Yeah, on both of them.
Really?
Two wrecks, 2 days, 2 tickets.
Hey, Allie,
two cars.
Hey, Allie, did you ever hear a guy say that when he got a ticket, he never deserved it. When they get a ticket, well, that's not my fault.
I shouldn't
got a ticket.
Have got that ticket.
There you go.
I shouldn't have got the first.
You know how many times I've heard that?
Nobody's heard it as many times as he did in court.
How many years older than me are you?
Were you 5 or 6?
Okay, so were you already professionally in insurance business at the time? I would have wrecked that.
No.
If I was 16, you would have been 21.
No, 22 is when I started it.
So you didn't get, you didn't have to handle that.
No.
What other jobs did you do between school and becoming a responsible adult? A
professional insurance magnate.
There was, went up to Princeton, Illinois and worked at, in charge of a detasseling crew one time.
Working a butcher shop?
Princeton, no. That's up by La Salle, Peru?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just like to say La Salle, Peru.
It's pretty cool. Hey, you know, the one of the drivers in Indianapolis 500 was from Oaxaca, Mexico.
Get out of town.
Yeah, yeah. Man, he was leading it there at the end.
Oh, he's that guy that was in third place and wrecked.
Yes, that's
and
him.
Angry.
Right at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's from Oaxaca.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't I say that on his car anywhere.
No.
You know, they came up with these new rules for the Indy 500 that, you know, rather than have it end on yellow, they like to come to a dead stop and then restart.
I like that.
I do, too.
They never restart without having a wreck on the first lap.
Well, because everybody's going nuts. You know, they know they got one lap, and here we go. It's all for one.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
Yeah.
I've got no problem with that.
I don't either. But the only guy that did was the guy that finished second.
Oh, yeah, he was upset because,
Because
if it finished under yellow, he would have won. Him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it, yeah.
Hey, he had just as much chance as anyone to plow his way through there.
All
and get
on
it,
the track at
he
the
was
same
in the lead.
Time.
He had one lap. All he had to do was lead the lap.
Yeah, he was in front.
I call him wine bag.
Yeah, there you go.
And the problem with these modern race cars, right, you know, the tires are just sticking out. There's no fenders or anything or bumpers for you to shove someone aside like you do on the highway.
Did you see the guy that flipped his car over and they had him, you know, they're watching him while
with his camera in his car.
He's upside down. He goes, I was a little afraid when the sparks started flying. I said, no kidding.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy there.
Like NASCAR, they can kind of shove each other aside a little bit, can't they?
That's bump and grind.
Yeah,
Rick.
That's
yeah.
expected.
Yeah, there's none of that. I mean, these Indy cars, man, you touch the wheel of another car.
And it goes flying up into the stands.
Oh, yeah, it's done.
The term bucket list was thrown out a minute ago.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, you two guys. Have you started crossing stuff off, not because you've done it, but because you don't have time?
No, I got time.
Or the ability.
I'll never get that in.
You know, some of that stuff is just unattainable.
So my bucket list of doing skydiving.
That's not going to happen.
I could still do that.
It's
never been on my bucket list.
My bucket list would include making one of those airfoil little home kits where you fly with a go-kart with a parasail on it.
An ultralight.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
You crazy?
With a big fan on the back.
It's just like your description. I'm going to take a go-kart and I'm going
to put a wing on it and go.
Whoa.
Drive it off of the edge
right
of a cliff.
Right down State Street.
There he goes.
We'll have Brother Brad fly it off the dock to see if it works.
I didn't think about those power lines. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, but you know, you laugh, but there's not much to an ultralight. It's pretty much just a paraglider and a go-kart.
Yeah, pretty close. Well, a big fan. A big fan on it.
Well, we could take one of them off the sprayer.
I'd rather, if I was going to do something as far as bucket lists and weird things like that, I'd like to drive a racing, go-kart.
Oh, yeah.
Racing go-kart.
That would be good.
Where's the nearest racing go-kart track?
We went to Quincy, and
they got one up there?
They shut down the park up there, and they raced that. It was pretty cool. And you have spin-outs. But, I mean, they were
fun. Really fast.
Yeah, they're moving, man. And they're loud.
Don't you think that they should open the Indy track up once a year to anyone? You got a car, any type of car you want to bring it.
No.
We'll just turn everybody loose. Boston Marathon. You know, when they have the Boston Marathon, there's only like 3 or 4 people who are going to win the thing.
Right. You got to qualify.
You know, and all the rest of the 100 people are just slogging along to say that they were in it or 1,000.
No, I did run a marathon.
I'd say the way you got to set this up, Rick, is...
Did you win it?
Oh yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So go back to
Randy. Went out and drank and the night before. Yeah, I had a good chance on that.
The way you set that up is in a lottery form, so that, you know, like an hour before the race starts, they draw 50 names out of the crowd and say, you know, Bob Smith, come on down and, you know, go get your car, bring it out here, and we're going to have 50 vehicles on the track, you know, just, you know, factory-made cars. And you guys drive around here for 10 laps in the winter.
Winner wins $1 million. Whatever you came in today, bring it on if you want to. You don't have to. Not forcing you. Here's something you're going to sign, absolving us of liability.
Here's Bob Jones' with his 2019 Sierra.
What is this? Please silence all phones.
I got it. Don't worry about that.
Give me that hammer.
You know how much the guy who won the Indy 500 got for it?
$100,000.
No. I think it's like $3.5 million for winning the Indy 500.
Oh, I think that's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, in the end, that wouldn't even pay the pit crew, would it? For a year's work?
No.
Pit crew just gets paid with beer.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. A lot of it.
Yeah.
Or the man from Oaxaca pays him in cerveza.
So the race that we're going to hold there.
Yeah, at Indy. In
Indy. It ain't going to be no 500 miles, though.
No, I just say, you know, like 10 laps and the winner gets $1 million. Yeah. But, you know, everybody that comes through the gate, you know, you can pay a dollar to be in the drawing.
A dollar?
Okay, $10 to be in the drawing.
And we're not having no yellow flags.
We're not having any flags. You wreck, you're done. And we leave everything out there and you got to maneuver through it.
Now, just remember as you go in that, you know, it's not like you have
you have to wear your seatbelt.
and an official helmet that you'll get to keep as a souvenir.
Oh. You know, half of them that are driving around there are going to be on their phones.
Taking a selfie as
they go. Hey, honey, look, I'm driving around the track, or I'm coming around the far turn right now.
Watch me.
I'm going to roll down and win a wave when I go past the far turn number three.
And your buddies who came with you all get to wear pit crew jackets and help you roll the car out.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
How much did he win?
$6,000.
No.
Oh. On what?
Indy 500. What, you texting your wife?
No, I was just trying to figure out I can't get it to come up. They weren't giving me a good website here.
Okay.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to go.
Yeah, it is. He got it.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour, brought to you by Heaver's Coffee. One cup and you'll be a heaver forever. By Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Federation. See you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network.